This is the Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business podcast, where life and business intersect. Hosted by Jennifer Glass, CEO of Business Growth Strategies International and BGSI Coaching. We are dedicated to your success. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business. Every now and then, while we're out there traveling, or we're out there even in our own home cities, we find that there's all sorts of scams, all sorts of things that we need to be watching out for. And Paris is no different, unfortunately, in terms of some of the things that actually happen. But I've got a really great guest on the show today who's going to help us really understand how to avoid those scams and also give us an overview of the City of Lights of Paris, France. But before I bring her on, let me tell you a little bit about her. As a child, Allison Isambert grew up benefiting from both her Southern and Northern California experiences, where she would often walk for hours from one side of San Francisco to the other. Allison comes from a family of foodies and adventurers and didn't realize these outings would serve as a training for her destiny as your guide. Allison moved from San Francisco to Paris in 2017 to further her explorations. Allison, welcome to the show.
Bonsoir. Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Bonjour. Thank you so much. So let me ask you, Allison, first of all, making the move from San Francisco, California to Paris was certainly one of those interesting experiences. What made you decide to make that jump and move halfway around the world?
Well, my first husband, or my only husband that I've had, is French. And so he wanted to come back into town to be with his family. And I tagged along and ended up falling in love with it so much that when we no longer were together, I decided to stay and work on my business. But there's no problem in regards to us having ended our relationship because we're really very amicable people. So we're still really good friends. In fact, I just had dinner with him tonight before the show. So he gave me the gift of this beautiful country, and I'm so happy to have every day the ability to share it with and with anybody else that I have the honor of coming into contact with.
And it's great that you and your ex have such a great relationship that you're even still going out to dinner and things along those lines. I know personally for me with my ex, I wouldn't even say that we would do coffee right now. And we're, you know, almost 10 years since our divorce was finalized, but a whole other story. So let's kind of get into the story, the background, the overview of Paris. As a tour guide, I mean, you're showing people all the different parts of Paris. Obviously, people come, they know the wine, the bread, the cheese, things along those lines. That's one of the big things. And of course, love and Paris too. But there's a lot more to the city than just that. Walk us through, please, some of the other things that if we were looking at a trip to the City of Lights, we should not miss.
Well, first of all, just as like a precursor to not missing things, I think it's really important to explain that when people come to Paris, a lot of times, which is completely normal, you're on a budget. And so the thoughts are, I'm going to stay a little bit away from the center of town where prices are a little bit better. I really discourage that because the experience of being in Paris is being in the center of town where you really have that neighborhood feel. So I think that the exploration that people are really looking at as far as their experiences of being here are achieved when you're in a smaller area closer to the center of town, I think that's where you find your real discoveries, whether it be like your local cafe that you go to, or like a small boulangerie that has something that just is the best that you've ever had. You know, all of those experiences are easier where it's a little bit more dense. As you go outside of that circle, it becomes a little bit come to get to where the action really is. So I do encourage when people are coming to have them try to stay toward the middle of town. You'll end less time traveling back and forth, and that's going to be desirable to come to. As far as like little secrets and top spots and stuff, I really love to take people out to Le Pouce, which are the flea markets of Paris. Technically, it's a little bit further out, so it's a little harder to get to, but it's also like a treasure trove for people looking for unique items that you can't get in just any store, especially like a souvenir stand. It's something I think a little bit more personal.
Absolutely. Thank you. And one thing that I would just need to define, because you used a uniquely French word, boulangerie, which yes. means bakery.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know French, I have to credit the little bit that I do know. At least I know it's a bakery. But yes, so thank you.
Yes, I will try to watch that French language interjection. But there are a lot of E's going on. So there's boulangerie for bread, fromagerie for cheese, boucherie for your butcher. There's a lot of funny terms out there, but after you kind of brush up on a little bit before you come over, you'll start to recognize things and be able to appreciate them a little bit better. A patisserie for pastries. You definitely have got to hit up a patisserie for sure.
Absolutely. And there's so many good ones, I'm sure, that are over there. So, Allison, let me ask you, I mean, we talked about like the Le Pouce, which are the flea markets, and we spoke about some of the other advantages of staying in the center of town. I don't know if you've actually seen the Netflix series Emily in Paris or not.
Bien sûr, of course.
Okay. Is it like what we see in Emily in Paris?
Well, you know, it's a great debate in the city between people in regards of whether to celebrate Emily or to kill her. Nobody is really quite sure of which way to go in that direction. She's, I personally, I find the show to be really charming. I think that it's a really nice way of seeing the city with all of her beauty. The thing with all of the beauty is it doesn't show all of the heartbreak and tears that go into the process of really trying to stay here and to acclimate. It's very difficult. And so when people like myself have come here and been successful in staying longer than like the standard expat does stay, because most people can't make it more than a couple of years and they've got to go home. It's not just a question of their desire to be here, but a question of paperwork and working with the government can be very difficult. So you see shows like Emily in Paris, and everybody that has been through the ringer in France is annoyed with the fact that she makes it look very carefree and easy, which it is not. It is a difficult city to acclimate to. And, you know, it's very rewarding when you get through another hurdle that makes you feel more acclimated and appreciated in the town.
Thank you. And I like how you said that it's the debate. Do you like her or do you want to kill her?
Great way to think about it. Unfortunately, yeah, it's, you know, it, look at the show, it's like every day is blue and gorgeous. And, you know, in reality, it rains 1 out of 3 days here. So the likelihood of having that many clear, crystal clear blue days is like very slim. Even in the summer, it rains here quite a bit. So that's one of the things I do recommend is bring an umbrella, because the easiest way to make sure that you don't get rained on is to carry an umbrella with you.
I remember when I went out to London and I swore it was going to rain, because the joke about London is it rains all the time. And right. So I was sure it was going to rain while I was there, and luckily it didn't. But then again, I also went out to Chicago thinking I was going to get snowed in Chicago, but I actually missed a huge snowstorm back home. Whole other story. But, you know, it's interesting thinking about how the climate definitely has an impact on how we enjoy where we're going and what it is that we're trying to do.
Yeah, it can be a little trying. It gets pretty cold here. People don't really think too much about it, but you know, we are on the same latitude as longitude as Canada. And so it's substantially cooler here than it is in the United States, where we're north. And with that comes a lot of rain. I mean, we're not far from London. We're only a couple of hours by train. So our weather is very similar.
Right. So Allison, let me ask you, we know that, and the joke in the New York City area anyway, as you go into the New York City subways and you've got the three-card Monty, you've got all of that other stuff down in the subway, at least if you look back in any of the TV shows, especially from the 80s and 90s. But what are some of those things that we need to be aware of in Paris as far as the scams go?
There's a few basic scams that I like to warn people about. Some of them are really standard, you know, and everybody knows them, like a pickpocket. Obviously, you know, we all know what a pickpocket is and know that they exist in cities and know that, you know, in crowded situations like the metro or a museum, to watch your bags and so forth. One of the things that I like to remind people of is that there's a safe in your hotel room and you should keep your passport there. I would not carry your passport unless you are actually going to buy luxury hand goods, like you know, Louis Vuitton or Dior, anything that's going to be over a couple hundred dollars. That's when you need to have your passport, because that way you can claim, you can get a VAT tax refund on the taxes paid. Because you're not a citizen. So beside that, always keep your passport somewhere safe and not with you. But pickpocketing is number one. That's the top one. The second one that you have to be aware of are the people that come around with clipboards to get signatures. Usually it's some type of charity situation, whether it be for Israel or for Ukraine or whatever the hot topic is of the moment in the news. That's what they're going to appeal to. And they're going to give you a sob story about, like, you really need to sign this petition. We're doing our best to try and help. And then once you sign, they start asking you, and if you donate today, you know, it would be very helpful to us. And these are not people associated with any charities whatsoever. And so do not stop. Do not give them money. There are better ways, as you and I all know, of getting our help and assistance out into the world where it needs to be going, but not to these, you know, gypsies, for the most part, that are wandering around the city with clipboards and very good English skills. Another one that you see sometimes, and I don't know why people fall for this, is the pea in the cup, you know, where you have like a little pea or a peanut or a little ball that you put under like three cups, and it's like you have to guess which cup it's under while they're shuffling them.
And
Yes, there you go. That's what the technical. Yeah. And I don't know why people fall for that, because the only person that's winning is the person that's working with them. But they make it look easy. People fall for it all the time. I don't understand why it's even like a legitimate scam anymore. But, you know, they're still making money, or they wouldn't be doing it. Up at Sacré Cœur, they tie bracelets on your wrists while you're walking by, and then demand money for it, calling it a friendship bracelet. And because they gave you something, you need to give them something back. There's also the ring scam, which is you're walking around and all of a sudden you hear a piece of metal hit the ground, and it's automatic that you turn to see, did I drop something? At which point a man or a woman will come up to you and say like, oh, excuse me, but it looks like you just lost your ring. And you look at your rings and realize, no, this is not my ring. And they say, well, you know, it's a lovely ring. You should try it on. It won't fit my fingers. At which time they hope that you're going to take the ring and try it on. And then they're going to say to you something to the effect of, well, you know, even though we found it together, I'll let you have the ring and you just give me a little bit of money for it, and we'll call it even. You know, the rings are not worth anything. They're scam artists. And it happens like out in like areas around the river that are not where there's a lot of people, but where you may walk to enjoy the river and so forth. So if you ever hear metal dropping, you know, don't, you know, take a look down, make sure you didn't drop anything, you know, keys or whatnot. But if somebody's like, excuse me, you know, don't stop for them. You know, it's just, you don't need to engage in a conversation with them. You don't owe them anything. As Americans, we're super polite. And so when somebody says something like, excuse me, we're automatically, yes, what can we do? How can I help you? And like, you have to kind of channel your inner French person that is already going to say like, I'm not talking to you. They're not even going to say anything, but just keep walking, you know? So it's like, it's really the best way to get out of the situation is just not to have any kind of confrontation with them.
It's so funny, because as you were talking, some of those things, I mean, I had Hunchback of Notre Dame come into my mind with the gypsies.
Yeah.
And Frollo and Quasimodo and Esmeralda, I mean, the gypsy lady.
Right.
All of those characters, I mean, huge Disney chick here, whole other story. One other thing, though, that I did want to ask you about the passport. If you carry around a copy of the passport, you're not actually carrying the actual thing itself. Would that be something that would still work for the VAT refund?
No, for the VAT refund, you have to actually have the physical passport with you. But
and that's not at
having
the
a picture. Well, you have to have it at the store that you're making the purchase from, so that they can do the paperwork for you for the airport.
Okay,
it's so like it's a two-part process. Now, you don't need to ever really worry about a photocopy. If you take a picture of your passport, if you're ever in a store that requires our identification, they'll accept the picture from you. The only time that you need the passport, though, is if you are going to buy stuff. So be sure that like you're only carrying it on days that you're planning on going to Galeries Lafayette or BHV or, you know, one of the luxury shops. That's when you want to plan for that day, because that's the day you want to carry the passport. Try and leave your passport, you know, in the room as much as possible. Just, you know, passports are very valuable, and you know, an American passport holds a lot of weight. So it's just best not to even tempt the fates on that one.
So Allison, let me ask you, you've been doing the tours for quite some time now in Paris. What is your favorite thing about doing them?
You know what? It's so wonderful. I had a tour today with two lovely ladies, and it was the mother's dream to always come to Paris. And to be with them all day today, every single thing that I showed them was magic. And to see that through another person's eye makes you feel so special. You know, I never get sick of seeing the city because I see it through new eyes every time I go out on a tour. And it's beautiful. You know, it's like this dream come true for people. And for me to experience it with them is like a real gift.
Absolutely. I know for me, going every now and then, if I have to go into New York City, if I'm going where I normally go, it's nothing big because I'm going where I normally go in New York City. But when I have time to kill and I can see something new, or like the first times that I took my kids into New York City, it was a pretty big deal. And like you said, you got to see things through their eyes. For me, also going to Disney World and seeing Disney World through their eyes, same kind of an idea in terms of it's just a completely new experience. I mean, I experienced Disney as a kid and now my kids are able to do it. And, you know, over and over, different times, different places, different things, we get to see and learn and experience completely different ways. I mean, you Absolutely. Go somewhere today, you go somewhere next year, it can be a completely different experience, even if it's the Right. same area.
Yeah, it's funny because every once in a while I'm walking and I'm not on a tour. And, you know, when I'm alone, I'm pretty focused and I'm looking down, I'm weaving, I'm bobbing, I'm getting through the crowds because, you know, along with being in the center of town, it's very crowded. And so you really have to manage your way to get around people if you're in a bit of a hurry. And when I'm by myself, I rush around and I'll be like, geez, you know, why are all these people in the way? Don't they have somewhere to go? You know, I wish that they would just speed up. Why do they stop in the middle of the sidewalk or pull over and look at your phone? And I'll look up and realize that they're like looking at the Eiffel Tower. And I'll be like, oh yeah, geez, you know, slow down. Enjoy what you've got right in front of you that you're missing because you're so preoccupied with getting to point B. And so it's like that reminder is constant in the city of like, look at what you have in front of you. Look at this opportunity that you have to see something that is in movies, in books, in dreams.
And it is something that so many people dream about, going to Paris. I mean, Absolutely. Many of us have been, since we were little, we were told stories, we were told different, you know, we saw different things. I mean, even Beauty and the Beast is Parisian in its theme. And again, Disney reference for those of you that didn't catch that. But I mean, there's all of that that is just so magical about the city. And so I guess my question is, if you were to see yourself, let's just say 10 years down the road, what do you think you would be doing?
You know, I mean, 10 years down the road, I'm hoping that I'm retired, which would be lovely. And I see like these like absolutely gorgeous older couples walking through the city together. And they are so lovely and so dignified, and they enjoy so much every bit of what city living has to offer, regardless of their age or their you know, their status, whether they're able to go to the opera or not. You know, it's like there's still so many activities to be able to do and appreciate as somebody that's, you know, a little bit older now. For me, it's like I use Paris as a real springboard into traveling around Europe in general. I had the honor of being able to spend last weekend in Madrid, and Madrid's only a couple of hours away on the plane. So as far as where I'm going to be in 10 years, it's definitely going to be in Paris, but I'm going to be jetting off all over the place if I'm not doing tours.
Maybe it's tours all across Europe.
Maybe, you never know. I have to go to some more places though. I like being a specialist on Paris though. I feel like, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm the master of Paris. So I'm gonna keep that up because I feel like you know, the city evolves constantly. It's a like a living organism. And so, you know, when somebody says, oh, I have the best place for you, I was in Paris last year, it's like, well, it may not be the best place anymore. You know, things just change constantly. I mean, just look at what an effect COVID had on all the cities across the world. You know, nothing is the same as it was before. And that was just a couple of years ago.
Absolutely. I know firsthand New York has changed so much because of COVID. Yeah. And, you know, all of the major cities did. Population decreases, new people moving in, businesses and, you know, the residential area is completely changing as a result too. And everything just changes. And the restaurants also, I mean, you have one place that was open and now there's a whole new place and it's a new Michelin star rating place.
Right.
So it's going to be a completely different experience. So one other question for you, and that is, what do you define success as?
Oh, you know what? I feel like for me, success is to see the joy in the guests that I have in my presence. Because really, the purpose of what I'm doing is to make sure that my guests, the people that come into Paris, that they have such a good experience that they want to come back again. Coming back again shows me that they really got to see the true nature of the city, the heart of the city, and the appreciation that they have and that desire to do it again just shows me that I did a good job. I showed them the best side of this lady that can be incredibly difficult on people that live here. You know, there's no way to hide it. She can be a cruel city, but you know, when somebody says to you like, oh my God, I love Paris and I want to come back, thank you so much for showing it to me. It's like, that is like the most successful that I feel when it comes to business, for sure.
100%. Knowing that somebody wants to come back, knowing that somebody is interested in what you are doing is a major piece of knowing that you definitely did the job right. So Allison, let me say that a lot of people have been listening to our conversation thus far, and they're interested in getting more information. How do they connect with you?
Well, it's really easy to send me an email or to go onto the website and fill out an inquiry form. I'm all over social media as well, you know, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. So it's cross-referenced all over the place. When I started the business off, I was doing bi-coastal, bi-country. I was doing San Francisco and I was doing Paris. And so that's where the name Tower to Bridge Tours comes from, is Tower being the Eiffel Tower, Bridge being the Golden Gate Bridge. So with COVID, I had to cut out the San Francisco portion to have the business survive. So, but I've already branded in that way. So it's the name of the company is Tower to Bridge Tours. And even though I only do the Paris tours nowadays, so I'm more than happy to get information, get the links out to you, and you can share the love. I would absolutely love to talk to anybody about Paris. It's one of my great pleasures.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we'll have all of your links in the description for the
great
episode. So Allison, once again, thank you so much for being my guest on the show today.
It was really a pleasure. Thanks for taking a little bit of time to hang out with me and get to know a little bit about how to enjoy Paris to her fullest. And obviously it's like, I've got tons more tips and tricks, and we didn't even get to talk about food, which is one of my favorite subjects, but I'm always happy to share that information with anybody that reaches out.
And that's why you have to go to towertobridgetours.com so that you can talk with Allison, book your time so that you can find a tour in Paris, enjoy the food, enjoy the love, enjoy the life, enjoy the lights. There's so much about the city of lights, about the city of love, the city of so much that you can find when you are in Paris. And one day soon, I hope to be in Paris myself as well. And perhaps, Allison, at that point, I'll be able to meet you in real life and not just a couple of times on Zoom that we've done. But yes, yeah. There's all different ways that we can be looking at the city. And Allison helped us really figure out more in terms of the overview, again, being closer into the center of the city, so that you'll save a couple of dollars in going to different places in taxis. It's a lot easier to walk then if you're in the center going to where you want to go instead of having to jump in a taxi or an Uber to get around where you're trying to go. And you can also avoid all of those scams that Allison told us about. And remember keeping your
passport,
valuables, your passport, yes, all of that in your safe, because you don't want those taking a walk while you are out. There's so much that you can be doing in Paris, and it's something that you definitely, I think everyone deserves the opportunity to travel at least a couple of times in their lifetime. If Paris is on your bucket list, reach out to Allison again, towertobridgetours.com, where you will be able to get the information, get the booking, fill out that form so that Allison can reach back out to you and tell you more in terms of what you want to do when you are there, and get that tour booked with her. On that note, this has been another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business. And until next time, here's to your success.
This has been another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business podcast. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving us a review, liking us, or reaching out to us. You can contact us at bgsicoaching.com and let us know what you think. Thanks so much again for listening.